everybody, and welcome to episode 365 of the Pixelated Sausage Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Kuznez, and today I want to talk about a few indie games, but before I get to that, I want to talk about the Lion King live-action movie. Not much to say about it other than the release date for it came out, I guess. I don't know what that date is because I don't care that much, but I got to thinking, what about it actually makes it a live-action movie? I understand how Cinderella is live-action, and the Beauty and the Beast movie is live-action, and the Jungle Book is live-action, because there are people in them, actual people. But the Lion King doesn't have any people in it. There are no people. It's all animals, and I am guessing, I'm gonna take a wild guess here and say every animal in the movie is going to be CGI and not a real animal. I'm sure they'll use references, but I'm guessing they're all going to be fake, because why wouldn't they do it in this day and age? Especially since they're going to be talking as well. I don't think they'll be getting people to do the mocap. You know, that makes sense with apes and monkeys since their anatomy is fairly similar to our own. But if they get a human to mocap a lion and hyenas and giraffes and everything in between, I think that might be a little bit weird and not natural. I don't want to say, you know, humans can't do anything, but they can't do anything or everything. And I don't think they can successfully do that. So I'm just wondering how it's actually live action. If they're just using that as a catch-all term for realistic and not cartoon, not animated in that sense, in the traditional sense. But yeah, that just got weird. Or either they're changing the story to some degree to put humans in it, which if that's the case, I don't know how I feel about that. Well, I know how I feel about that. I don't like it. I know there's been some slight backlash for the Beauty and the Beast movie being just essentially, I haven't seen it, but from what I've heard, it's essentially just a shot-for-shot remake of the animated film, which, you know, for better or worse, is not that enticing. It makes it harder to justify seeing it over the animated movie, unless you just want to see it look realistic, if you just want to see humans in it, I guess, and you don't like cartoons, or however you want to put it. But yeah, I'm all for changing up stories to some degree. Like Cinderella, I think, took some liberties and went in a few different directions than the animated feature. At least from my memory, it's been a really long time since I've seen the animated Cinderella, because I've never cared that much for that story. But adding humans would significantly change the story, and I don't know what it would do to the story, because it would just be a very weird thing. If it's like, oh, instead of a stampede and Scar, was his name, was it just Scar or Scar? It's not, it can't be Scarface. If he doesn't kill him and instead of human hunter kills Mufasa, that's going to really change the story of the Lion King in a very awful way. So I would not be for that. But yeah, I just got to thinking when I heard the news, I'm like, wait a second. What makes it a live action movie? Really? Unless it's like the stage play and you just have a bunch of people wearing slight animal costumes and a bunch of face paint, which I don't think is the case, because it's being directed by Jon Favreau, or however you say his name, who directed The Jungle Book. But yeah, I'm curious to see how that goes, as I am with all these Disney movies, though I haven't watched many of them. I have no interest in Beauty and the Beast, because I love the original movie. It's probably my favorite animated Disney film, fantastic music, and I've always thought from every single trailer that this live action one looked awful. Despite a decent cast, but it just looked like, why even do it? Cinderella was a nice surprise, as I mentioned before, I saw that. And then I still haven't watched The Jungle Book, but I wouldn't mind checking that out sometime. I just feel like when they start singing, I Want to Be Like You, it's just going to be awful. Even though, from what I've been told, the singing is more of a talky singy. But Louis Prima is one of my favorite all-time musicians, and there's no way anyone can compare to his version of the song. So yeah, still have to watch that though. And then what was the other, I don't know if there's another one that's been out yet, but then of course they're doing Aladdin, and they're going to be doing a Little Mermaid one. I think that they're doing a Mulan one. I'm sure they're just going to do all of them until they make no money. Maleficent wasn't, I don't think there's any animated film specifically about her, but I watched a little bit of that and I was like, I'm not liking this, and just stopped. But anyway, what I actually want to talk about, but before that, I also watched a few movies. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the Harry Potter prequel, essentially. Really enjoyed it. I was surprised, kind of just because I've been on more of a downer when it comes to a lot of bigger budget, you know, movies. You know, Rogue One, John Wick isn't big budget, but I haven't been too into a lot of stuff lately. But I really enjoyed Fantastic Beasts. I thought the cast was pretty great overall. I especially thought, I can't remember if his name is, if it's Dan Fogel or not, but the muggle in the movie, the human, non-wizard, non-witch, was really, really good. And that was a bit of a surprise, because I think of him and more often see him in roles where he's kind of the chubby, slapsticky, over-the-top character, like in Balls of Fury, or what was it, that Star Wars thing where they're going on the road trip and the one's got like terminal cancer or something. I don't remember. But some other early stuff too, and he was really good in it. I really, really liked him. And I even thought Eddie Redmayne, who I'm not a huge fan of, I thought he was pretty good in it as well. Colin Farrell was great in it as the bad guy. And then the rest of the cast was really solid. The only thing I didn't particularly like, well, one, I thought some of the visual effects were at times very fake-y, not like not super duper fake, but at times where they were just completely in a green screen world, and there was no practical effects, like not even like a tree stump, or at least it didn't seem like it. It just felt a bit disjointed. But the thing that I really had a problem with, and this just goes to anyone who's watched the movie, because I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not going to give it too much away. Maybe people remember it from, I think it was mentioned in the news, but at a point in the movie, I won't even say if it's at the beginning or the end, but this is, in my opinion, a very good actor is replaced with a very now bad has-been actor who is occasionally okay, but is mostly just garbage now. I'll leave it at that. You can dive into the depths of what I'm talking about. I'll leave it at that. And then I also saw Hello, My Name is Doris, which is this movie with Sally Field, where she's this older woman. She's working at this like young hip organization. She's one of the holdovers because they need to have diversity and keep some of the original staff. And then this new young hip designer comes in, who's played by the actor who plays Schmidt on New Girl. And she starts to have these fantasies about being in a relationship with him. And her mother just passed away. And it's poised as like this comedy, but it's got humor in it and all that. But it is a really well done tragic story about this person who has a really hard time disconnecting from things. Like actual things, you know, little meaningless things, pieces of property, and has this wild imagination and just is this really tragic character who kind of just lost out on living her life because she was taking care of her mother and then just grew attached to her and then to all these inanimate objects. It has to do with hoarding and all these other things. And it's hard to watch in almost a catfish type of way just because you know things are not going to turn out well in the end. You know, stuff, everything is going to hit the pavement. That's not the phrase I want to use, but everything is going to just, you know, fall apart in the end. It's like a game of Jenga. Eventually, the pieces are all going to fall on the floor. It's not going to stay up forever. And you know it's going to happen. You're waiting for it to happen. And it's just sort of this on the edge of your seat in a way where you're just like, oh, I don't want to watch this. It's very nerve-wracking, for me at least. But it is really well done. It's just not like a super feel-good movie because of all that. I think they try to play it up in the trailers, especially as more of a feel-good comedy. Or just like, oh, this is a silly comedy where she's into this young guy and she has these fantasies about him and all that. But it's really, really tragic and heartbreaking in a way. And the way her family treats her is not great. They have no sympathy for her. And it's clear that they're just looking to a part of the story is wanting to, after the mother passes away, to sell the house. Her brother and his wife's or sister-in-law, they want her to clean it up, get rid of all this garbage and sell the house. And they're acting like, especially the brother, like they're doing it for her best interest because she needs to get rid of this stuff and blah, blah, blah. But in actuality, they're just trying to sell the house so they can get half of that money. So they're not really doing it in her best interest. So it has to do with that too. And just like having these people who need help and then they just don't have the people around them who are actually willing to help or whatever. But yeah, it's a good movie. But a bit hard to watch. Now, on to the actual topics I wanted to talk about. Snake Pass and Old Time Hockey. Two indie games, two very different indie games. I got codes for both. Played Snake Pass on Xbox One and Old Time Hockey on PS4. Old Time Hockey is on PS4 and PC, I believe. And then Snake Pass is on Xbox One, PC, PS4, and Switch. And I believe it did fairly well on the Switch, in large part, probably because the Switch doesn't have that much in terms of games to play and to buy for it. And it is only $20, so it's a fairly cheap game in comparison to a lot of stuff. And it's also not that bad, but it's not that great. So in Snake Pass, you're playing as a snake through 15 levels, I believe. I've played through 7 of them. And your objective is to collect these 3 pieces of, I don't know what they are, but you collect them to open the portal that will let you finish the level. There are also various collectibles to find in each level, from these like 20 or so bluish orb things and then 5 gold pieces. And I don't know if there's a time limit in the regular like story mode, but there is a like time, not attack, but time whatever mode. And it's a game I want to like way more than I actually do, because there are things about it that just fight against it all the time and against me and the controls. I like the controls good amount of the time, but then there are times where it feels like the snake is just controlling itself and has a mind of its own and just won't listen to me. And I don't think that's the intention. I just think there's a subtlety to the controls, because the way it works is that you are a snake, so you can't just move in a straight line. You have to slither, so you're going back and forth. You hold the right trigger to it's basically like your gas. So that's your, I want to be in my movement. Like just to have movement ready to go, so you're not completely in a standstill, whatever controls you're pressing. And then you push the left analog stick left and right to slither, and then navigate that way and build up momentum. The more you do that, the more you move from left to right, the faster you'll go. Then you can press the A button, hold it, to lift your head up so that you can get up over objects and then climb stairs and stuff like that. And then holding the left trigger sort of tightens your body, constricts it around objects so that you can hold on to something when you're trying to. For me, I've used that mostly when trying to navigate upwards and climb little bamboo sticks and like ladder type of things and just get to areas I wouldn't be able to otherwise. And that's the basics of the controls. But there are times where I will try slithering or want to just turn a little bit, but then the snake just turns around in a circle and does a full 360. And I don't know if it's just that there's a point where, like, once you hit a certain axis or something, it just decides, okay, full circle. That's what doing, you hit that point. So now I'm going to just do a full circle, and it breaks the momentum of the movement and the game. And every time that happens, I'm like, it just sort of is like a slap to the face. That's maybe a little bit too harsh. It's like this, a pinch where it's like, oh, you were feeling really good, but just remember there's this little issue with it. And then the camera itself is just really not great. It can get really zoomed in and make it hard to see anything at all and to navigate the area and to find out where you are and where you want to go. And I think just the general camera, the camera in general is too zoomed in at all times. I wish it was further backed out, and maybe the reasoning behind not having it that far out is because then you'd be it'd be a lot easier to see the entire level and plot out your path and where you want to go and where everything is and like hidden objects and all that stuff. And it would take away some of the just exploration of levels and discovering where things are and finding all that kind of stuff, which I can understand. But to me, the game isn't fun because of, you know, not being able to see where I want to go or where things are or that aspect of it. The game is it's most fun when I'm just in the groove with the movement and feeling snake-like and just really, you know, in tune with the controls and everything's moving nice and I'm just like on this long run of navigating the area and climbing and moving around. So when I'm moving as the snake and I'm not running into any issues with the camera getting too zoomed in or anything like that, that's when the game feels best. And so I don't think being able to zoom the camera really far out would take away from that. I definitely could see how maybe they would do that, because it would make the game definitely easier in terms of just finding everything and where you have to go and all that. But you still have to get there, and the controls and all that is how you would get there, and it would still be fun. So yeah, it's a game that I wish I liked more. It's a game I really want to like more than I actually do, and that just kind of sucks. But it's okay, I guess. I don't really know. Other than unless like you really are into collecting everything and getting 100%, that there's that much in it, given that there are only 15 levels, and each level, if you're not concerned with collectibles, I'd say it'll probably take you 5 to 10 minutes, if that. 10 minutes. I mean, 5 minutes seems like a solid number. 5 to 10 minutes, because some of the levels are kind of big-ish, and you have to still get to areas and find out where you want to go, and then unlock areas by flipping switches and stuff. But it's a solid game. For $20, if the thought of playing as a snake interests you, then it's worth checking out. And it looks nice, too. I like the visuals. People have compared it to Viva Pinata, and it is very Viva Pinata without like the texture of pinatas. Whatever you want to call that. I don't know. It's almost feathery, but this is much more solid. Very colorful. Looks good. Runs well on the Xbox One, at least. And then I played Old Time Hockey, which is really not good. What it does well is the vibe of Old Time Hockey and the just like pulpiness of it and the old school nature of it all and all of that. It really does a great job with the presentation, even though at times it's hard to navigate the menus, but it really gets the feel of it all and this sort of, not so much underground, but this like minor league, goon heavy, fighting, just, you know, I don't know, heart of the earth hockey, classic hockey that you can tell that they really, the developers have the best of intentions and they want to make a game that fans of hockey will enjoy, but sadly it just does not come together in any way. The gameplay is bad, whether it's the simple two button controls or the advanced controls, it never feels good. Scoring a goal, very simple and easy to do, it's, you know, very arcadey, but it never feels satisfying to score a goal. It doesn't feel satisfying to take down your opponents, so checking them, doing body checks, and completely knocking them out doesn't feel that good. Visually, it has a cel-shaded look to it, which it makes the ugliness of it somewhat more digestible, because cel-shading is just something that you can sort of get more away with, but it doesn't look good, you know, animations and all that. And then I think the thing I hate most about it is the audio, which is incredibly repetitive and just is incredibly annoying. I don't even know if there was any commentary. There might have been. I don't remember any of it particularly, but what I do remember is that every time you take someone down with a full body check that knocks them out, you always, always, always hear cuckoo birds. Every time. Every time. And there are things like that just sprinkled in the game where you just hear this same sound effect over and over and over and over again. The fighting is bad, and it could get really long drawn out if you have done a lot of body checks. Then the fights will then go from one fight to another until everyone has been knocked out. It just really doesn't feel good at all or look good or sound good, which is disappointing. And I played in an exhibition match and then one of the story matches, which the one thing I'll say I like about the story mode, at least, is that you have three objectives in a game, and if one of the objective is not to win the game, winning the game is not important, and it's not something you have to concern yourself with. So you can lose a game and still get all your objectives done and, you know, make it a success. I don't know what happens if you don't get any of your objectives or if you don't get your primary objective, but I like that aspect of the story mode so that you don't really have to worry about being the best in terms of scoring the most goals and winning the actual game. But, you know, you might have objectives that are like take down their star player at least once, block at least one shot with, you know, a regular player, and then get the opposing goalie pulled or stuff like that. And I like that, but the gameplay and everything about the game itself is just, it's not good. It really isn't any good. That's super, super disappointing. But yeah, if you really like hockey and you want to play it, I guess you can play it. But unless they took it out of the most recent NHL games, I would just recommend playing NHL with the 94 controls and stuff like that. But that will do it for today's show. Once again, I'm your host, Mark Jeunez. Y'all can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Xbox Live, Monomylist, and Steam, and all the other usual places at PX Sausage. On PSN, I am the Kush3. On the Switch, you can find my ID on the site. I'm not going to list it, but you can just go on pixelatedsausage.com, which is the site where you can find this podcast and all the other podcasts we host, like the Pixelated Paranormal Podcast and Pixelated Radio. And if you like the art I do, which is also on the site, you can check it all out over at pxsart.com. And then if you'd like to support the site and the art and the podcast and everything we do in general, you can go over to patreon.com/pxs and support us that way. And last but not least, if you haven't already, please do go over to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe to the show because it really is appreciated and it really does help. And if you don't use iTunes to listen to the show, at least, you can go over to Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Google Play Store, SoundCloud, all the usual places, and listen to it there. Okay, everyone, I hope you all have had a lovely week so far and have an even lovelier week for the rest of it. Okay. Also, as bad as old time hockey is, it wasn't as bad as watching the Blackhawks get swept in the playoffs. Holy crap, that was horrible. At least you, Lunchbox, and your Wild got one win in there. You didn't get swept. So enjoy that, you nice person, you. Okay. Bye. Bye.